Half an hour later, Forrest materialized from somewhere in the back of the house. He was holding a tall, clear glass that was filled with a suspicious-looking brown liquid, and it wasn't iced tea. "They gone?" he asked, looking at the driveway. "Yes," Ray said. He was sitting on the front step, smoking a cigar. When Forrest sat down next to him, the aroma of sour mash followed quickly. "Where'd you find that?" Ray asked. "He had a hiding place in his bathroom. Want some?" "No." "How long have you known that?"
30 years.
A dozen lectures leapt forward, but Ray fought them off. They'd been delivered many times before, and evidently they had failed because here was Forrest sipping bourbon after 142 days of sobriety. "How's Ellie?" Ray asked after a long puff.
"Crazy as hell. The same."
"Will I see her at the funeral?"
"No, she's up to 300 pounds. 150 is her limit. Under 150 and she'll leave the house. Over 150 and she locks herself up."
"When was she under 150?
3 or 4 years ago. She found some wacko doctor who gave her pills. Got all the way down to 100 pounds. Doctor went to jail and she gained another 200. 300 is her max, though. She weighs every day and freaks out if the big needle goes beyond 3.
I told Reverend Palmer that we would have a wake, but not here, not in the house.
You're the executor.
You agree?
Sure.
A long pull on the bourbon, another long puff on the cigar.
What about that hose bag who ditched you? What's her name?
Vicky.
Yeah, Vicky. I hated that bitch even at your wedding.
I wish I had.
She still around?
Yep, saw her last week at the airport getting off her private jet.
She married that old fart, right? Some crook from Wall Street?
That's him. Let's talk about something else.
You brought up women.
Always a big mistake. Forrest slugged another drink, then said,
"Let's talk about money. Where is it?"
Ray flinched slightly and his heart stopped. But Forrest was gazing at the front lawn and didn't notice. "What money are you talking about, dear brother?" "He gave it away."
"But why?"
"It was his money, not ours."
"Why not leave some for us?"
Not too many years earlier, the judge had confided in Ray that over a 15-year period, he had spent more than $90,000 on legal fees, court fines, and rehab for Forrest. He could leave the money for Forrest to drink and snort, or he could give it away to charities and needy families during his lifetime. Ray had a profession and could take care of himself. "He left us the house," Ray said.
"What happens to it?"
"We'll sell it if you want. The money goes in a pot with everything else. 50% will go for estate taxes. Probate will take a year."
"Give me the bottom line."
"We'll be lucky to split $50,000 a year from now." Of course, there were other assets. The loot was sitting innocently in the broom closet, but Ray needed time to evaluate it. Was it dirty money? Should it be included in the estate? If so, it would cause terrible problems. First, it would have to be explained. Second, at least half would get burned in taxes. Third, Forrest would have his pockets filled with cash and would probably kill himself with it.
"So I'll get $25,000 in a year," Forrest said.
Ray couldn't tell if he was anxious or disgusted. "Something like that."
"Do you want the house?"
"No, do you?"
"Hell no, I'll never go back in there."
"Come on, Forrest."
"He kicked me out, you know. Told me I'd disgrace this family long enough. Told me to never set foot on this soil again."
And he apologized. A quick sip.
"Yes, he did. But this place depresses me." "You're the executor. You deal with it. Just mail me a check when probate is over."
"We should at least go through his things together."
"I'm not touching them," he said and got to his feet. "I want a beer. It's been 5 months and I want a beer."
He was walking toward his car as he talked.
"You want one?"
"No."
"You want to ride with me?"
Ray wanted to go so he could protect his brother, but he felt a stronger urge to sit tight and protect the Attlee family assets. The judge never locked the house. Where were the keys?
I'll wait here, he said. Whatever.